Margiela Roosevelt Avenue. This is TheBealPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our lavish studios in Tatsminda. Today is Thursday, the 24th of July, 2014. On this date in 1783, the Kingdom of Georgia and the Russian Empire signed the Treaty of Georgievsk. Didn't prove so effective. 1847, 148 Mormons settle Salt Lake Valley when Brigham Young says, "This is the place." 1901, author O. Henry, much admired in the Soviet Union for whatever reason, is released from prison in Columbus, Ohio after serving 3 years for embezzlement from a bank. 1911, Machu Picchu is discovered. 1922, the draft of the British Mandate of Palestine is formally confirmed by the Council of the League of Nations, and that totally worked out well. 1959, Nixon and Khrushchev have the kitchen debate in the American National Exhibition Hall in Moscow. 1969, Kennedy had said that he wanted men to walk on the moon and return safely to Earth. On this date, Apollo 11 splashed into the Pacific, completing that goal. Although Nixon had made a national address that was never aired in case they were not able to leave the surface of the moon and get back safely to Earth. 1990, Iraqi forces start massing on the Iraqi-Kuwait border. Birthdays today are Simon Bolivar, Alexander Dumas, Amelia Earhart, Zelda Fitzgerald, and Jennifer Lopez. Today it's me, Mark Mullen, and driver Will Dunbar. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tbeelpod.com or send us an email at tbeelpod@gmail.com. On the 21st of July, Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili fired and reshuffled seven ministers from the Ministries of Agriculture, Prison, Refugee, Environment, Infrastructure, Culture, and Diaspora. Explaining his decision at a media briefing, Kharabashvili said the staff changes were necessary in order to renew energy to fulfill Georgia's promises after signing the EU Association Agreement. Totally plausible. The sacked ministers remain members of the Georgian Dream. The president named two replacements at the same briefing. Prison Minister Sosos Shubadi will be the new Minister of Refugees, while Infrastructure Minister Elguja Khokrishvili will replace Environment Minister Khatuna Gogoladze. The 22nd of July, Kharabashvili named candidates for Agriculture, Prison, Infrastructure, and Diaspora Ministries. The candidates for Agriculture, Otto Danelia, former deputy of the same ministry, Gio Mukhebrishvili, former minister, governor of Kwemokartli, is candidate for prison minister. Dato Shavliashvili used to be the head of the roads department, is candidate for infrastructure minister. Gela Dumbadze is the candidate for diaspora minister. He's a former deputy at the ministry once again. 23rd of July, Kharabashvili named Misha Gheorghadze for the post of culture minister. He's the co-founder and chief executive of Eastern Promotions, a company that organizes the annual Tbilisi Jazz Festival, also Tbilisi Concert Hall. Parliament will have to approve the ministerial changes with a confidence vote. According to the Constitution, the president is required to ask for parliamentary trust within a week if at least five members of the government are changed. UNM said it considers these changes superficial and that it does not plan to support the government. President Georgi Margvelashvili commented that he will submit the new cabinet to the parliament for a vote as soon as all the members of the reshuffled government are nominated by the prime minister. He also had a press conference in which he said, you know, if this needs to happen, you know, why don't we think about the entire cabinet? And he said that several times. It's quite interesting.
Well, I mean, it's a bunch of nobodies being replaced with a bunch of nobodies, isn't it? I can't name a single minister who's just been fired, nor a single guy that's coming in. These are not the heavy hitters of the cabinet. I didn't even know half these people existed, and I follow this stuff quite closely. They're being replaced with insiders, deputy ministers and stuff like that. It's just a completely boring reshuffle. I'm not quite sure why it's happening. I mean, maybe these guys were completely hopeless. Like, Guru Manisharia, the culture minister, was well known to be totally out of his depth. And no good at the job. And so, yeah, maybe getting a sort of entertainment supremo in is a good idea, but this is not a game changer. All the big beasts are still in their places. All the people also who have well-documented disagreements and, in general, conflicts with Kharabashvili and previously Ivanishvili are in place still. So Alassani is still Minister of Defence. Usubashvili is still the Speaker of Parliament. Ter Tsurukiani is sidelined but still at justice. And Kaka Kaladze, who in spite of being a Vidzina loyalist, is reportedly at loggerheads with Kharabashvili on a personal level, is still Minister of Energy. So all the potential rivals, all the thorns in the side are still there. And we've just had a few people that no one's ever heard of replaced with a few other people that no one's ever heard of. And so I don't really get why it's happening now, or what if there's any significance to it other than getting rid of people who are congenitally hopeless.
Well, here's my theory. I think that there's somebody that it would be difficult for them to replace. They've already replaced a few, in that there's somebody that they want to replace who would be serious and would be...
So Alassania. Right.
And that by replacing all of these that nobody cares about, Utsneva will be, say, yes, you're fine, it'll be a pro forma thing, and that perhaps Alassania, who's incredibly popular with the international community, and not just because he speaks English and is a nice guy and is very democratic.
Fervently Atlanticist.
But he's a fervent Atlanticist, and he's done a heck of a job in the ministry. He's got a lot of good people behind him, and that I think that maybe they want to get rid of him. Now, it could be someone else, but, you know, the interior ministry, I mean, I think that the Tinico and Datu Zivashvili have been trying to, get, and we've even mentioned that, you know, that maybe the interior minister is going to go, and they said, nope, not going anywhere, and he's really the
He just had a huge, Karabashvili had a press conference specifically praising him today, saying that he's growing in stature, which is quite amusing in various ways, but also that he has a huge potential to do all this great stuff, and how all the attacks on him are unfair,
right.
So he's getting full support.
Right, so he's not going anywhere. I mean, Kaladze is important and political, and it seems unlikely unless something really weird happens related to the Karabashvili, you know.
Reportedly, they personally hate each other, and
right,
Kaladze
but, okay.
is the only other obvious choice for a potential prime minister from Bidzina's point of view.
Right, just by a process of elimination, therefore, I think that Alassania is in trouble, but that they don't want to do that in the current situation,
so
because there'd be a vote. Because once they do this, you know, that happens, and then immediately afterwards, they don't have to seek approval. You know, they've already gotten rid of several ministers just based on they're up. I think they've only got two or three left, or something like that. There's just been changes along the way, so they want to have this first,
So what you're saying is they'll get rid of these seven ministers, forcing a vote of confidence in Parliament,
right,
allowing them then to get rid of an additional minister without that going to a vote.
Exactly.
I see. So it's a procedural thing.
It's a procedural thing because nobody cares about this. I mean, if you look at, like, especially when you replace a minister with a
deputy.
I mean, it's like there's not really anything political about this. It just shows that they, you know, I mean, it's sad that Khatuna, especially in the Ministry of Environment, who's quite smart and has been doing a good job, but has no political power whatsoever. I mean, this is just, this doesn't matter. What's happening now, I think we can agree.
Setting the stage for a bigger leader.
And my, if I had a guess, I'd say it's Alassania. But, you know, who knows? So, any diplomats are listening, you know, just be sure to let everybody know how wonderful you think Alassania is. But maybe,
Any gamblers out there opening a book?
Right. You know, I mean, if... look, he's a fervent Atlanticist, and who knows if all of everybody's deepest, darkest fears are true. Maybe it is his fervent Atlanticism that is the problem.
Well, it's also the fact that he's popular and smart, and perhaps the Prime Minister isn't quite as popular and smart as he'd like to be.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Following up on last week's story about the death of Erosi Kitsmatashvili, the former owner of Rustaviori TV, on the 20th of July, Kitsmatashvili was buried at Sabartalo Pantheon in Tbilisi. The funeral service was held at the headquarters of Rustaviori. The investigation to determine the cause of death is ongoing with the work of both state and independent forensics and ballistics experts hired by the family. The forensics expert hired by the family, Maya Nikolaishvili, the perennial forensics expert hired by the family, said that an analysis of bloodstain patterns showed that the front passenger seat was not occupied when the shot was fired. Kitsmatashvili was found dead in the driver's seat. On the 12th of July, Misha wrote on his Facebook page, Erosi Kitsmatashvili and suicide. For me, these are completely incompatible. Former mayor of Tbilisi, Gigi Ulava, who is now in prison in pretrial detention, posted on his Facebook page about Kitsmatashvili's death and accused BI of trying to take control over the television station. Ugulava wrote, quote, Kitsmatashvili was killed and it was an ordered assassination. It was directly connected with a campaign aimed at depriving its owner of the Rustaviori television, end quote. He also added that BI plans to conclude the court process only after taking full control of the judiciary, which will happen within the year. On the 22nd of July, the CEC officially declared Dato Narmania the new mayor of Tbilisi. He received 72% of the votes. Second round of elections held on the 12th of July, UNM candidate Nika Melia received 28%. Elected Mayor Ngam Gabelli Tedsu, who won the runoff, will be authorized to take office on the 2nd of August. According to Abkhazian media, Abkhazians living abroad might be able to vote in the presidential election scheduled for the 24th of August. The proposal was submitted to the Abkhaz parliament last week. According to the document, the government will address foreign countries about opening polling stations abroad. The media reports that it is already established that polling stations will be opened in Russia. Looking around everywhere for those Abkhaz voters, you know. On the 21st of July, the Ministry of Interior detailed Lado Nadarishvili, the brother, detained Lado Nadarishvili, the brother-in-law of former Defense Minister Bacho Akhalaya. He was detained on charges of illegal restriction of freedom and extortion, according to the Ministry of Interior. On November 2013, Nadarishvili's car was damaged in an accident. He claimed that his insurance company did not pay enough for the damages. Nadarishvili then detained the insurance agent in his car and tried to extort more money from him under the threat of a weapon. His sister, Ani Nadarishvili, claimed that her brother's arrest is politically motivated. You know, I don't know anything about that.
I don't know anything about that, but I mean,
I gotta tell you, that kind of stuff happened a lot.
Yeah, it happens all the time. I mean, right. It's, a guy gets angry and knocks the car door. Who knows? Who knows? It does seem a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
He's the brother-in-law of Bashar Akhalai, who is this guy they're really desperately trying to convict. It's very convenient, at the very least.
Well, I would just hope that these sorts of things don't happen now, because now everybody's seeing that these sorts of things shouldn't happen, and so let's hope that they're not. According to the prosecutor's office, three foreign law experts are expected to come to Georgia to assist with the prosecution of former officials. All three served as chief prosecutors in their own countries. Sir Geoffrey Nice of the UK was also deputy to the main prosecutor at the International Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia from 98 to 2006. He personally led the case against Slobodan Milosevic. Moshe Lador was state prosecutor of Israel until the end of 2013. Before that, he was the main prosecutor for Jerusalem. Peter Coffey, the third advisor, is the former head of the U.S. Department of Justice Organized Crime Division. The prosecutor's office plans to create a group of Georgian law experts who will learn from the experiences and recommendations of the three advisors.
Yeah, I don't think they're here to help with the prosecutions. I think they're here to help with the prosecutors. Do you see what I mean?
Well, no, what do you mean?
Well, they're not here to assist the cases against the high-profile people. They're here to build the competencies of the prosecutors who might then take part in those cases.
Well, I don't know. I think, yes. Okay, yes, they're not, we presume, they're not helping in the prosecutions, although who knows, there could be lots of informal chats. But the question I have is whether they're here to say whether or not the prosecutions are fair as sort of independent, important people, or to somehow train the prosecutors who we've all agreed are just unbelievably incompetent. And I think that's kind of an important question, because I do think that the people who work closely with and for Otsneba and Bidzina are talking a lot about this. They realize that there's an international problem in terms of perception, and they're, you know, saying, take a look at this to see that, you know, look, there's some sort of international whatever here. And I you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to hear what they say, but they're all top level people who have, you know, nailed, either corrupt people or mass murderers. You know, they're not just sort of regular judicial overseers. They're something else. So be interesting to see what they say. Also be interesting to see who they meet with, whether they, whether it's they're held pretty well in with the government crew and, you know, the Georgian Dream people, or whether or not they...
Or will Guy Macari get a crack at the whip?
Right, or will, yeah. Or, you know, or, for example, the hardest working NGO in the caucus is Transparency International Georgia, who certainly has some expertise in prosecutions or lack thereof of prosecutorial abilities. According to information from a senior Ministry of Interior official, several days ago, a member of Zahar Koloshov's Kurdi crime group, Cemal Maimoyani, suddenly appeared in Tbilisi. Under Misha, mob people were either arrested or chased out of the country. A senior police official said that Maimoyani and three other criminal authorities were outside the Justice House visiting a memorial, and video footage from the Justice House clearly shows Cemal and his companions there. The MIA's press speaker, however, commented that no such people are on Georgian territory. Wow. Just changing to property registration, you know? Minister of Finance Nodar Khaduri detained the Georgian, denied that the Georgian Dream ever proposed that fuel prices would be reduced by one lari or that pensions would rise to 220 lari as an election campaign promise. Khaduri was discussing the 2013 budget report at a parliamentary minority group meeting when he was asked why the reforms were not introduced. The inquiring MP Zura Chaparidze introduced video footage from before the 2012 election showing Irakli Alassania promising 220 lari pensions. After seeing the video, Khaduri stated that the budget cannot afford the pay raise. On the 17th of July, a passenger on the number 19 bus in the suburb of Ponychala got into a physical fight with a bus driver, resulting in the driver's death. The passenger fled the scene. Transport trade unions organized protests in various cities, including Tbilisi, Rustavi, Gardabani, Gori, Kutaisi, demanding proper investigation into the case and for harsh punishment.
Well, wait, you're missing the crucial bit there. So the crucial bit was, so this guy got in a fight with the bus driver died. We don't exactly know why so far, exactly how he died, but he died at the scene after this fight. And the police come and they start the investigation in exactly the same clause about Iraisi Kitsmarishvili. They start the investigation in the driving a person to the brink of suicide clause. Whereas this guy was involved in a physical fight and died as a result of this. Now, whether he had a heart attack or there was some trauma, I don't know. No one's been told this. But the police started the investigation under the driving a person to the point of suicide clause, which is specifically what the bus drivers are complaining about. The guy who was arrested was then released on $5,000 bail, 5,000 lari bail. And I can't help but wonder, there's a clear case of a physical fight and a guy dying as a result, which is, I mean, I don't know, in Britain that would be manslaughter or something like that, negligent homicide, I don't know. And the police are classing that as driving to the point of suicide. Maybe that's why the murder rate is so low in Georgia, that basically everyone gets bumped off, is investigated under the point of suicide clause, and therefore there's no actual murders.
I mean, my question is, how late do you have to be to record this podcast for it to be considered driving me to the brink of suicide? that's what I wonder. I mean, you know, yeah, you got a point there. I mean, this suicide question is an important one as it relates to prosecutors. On the 19th of July, a group of about 50 people attacked priests in the Surb Ejmaizin Armenian Church in Tbilisi. The Armenian diocese said that the attack was motivated by religious and ethnic prejudice, though the Interior Ministry denies the incident was a case of discrimination. According to the church's statement, the woman was trying to leave in her car that was parked next to the church, got angry with a priest because his car was blocking hers. Two aggressively disposed men approached and helped get her car out and started verbally insulting Armenians. There was a small fight. 2 hours after the incident, the men returned with a group of 50 men and got into a scuffle with priests and church workers. The Armenian ambassador to Georgia said the Armenian government is aware of what happened, but cannot say at this stage that the confrontation happened deliberately. Archbishop...
Well, I mean, Geiler and T.I., have a look at this. And it was like quite a serious incident, but apparently some of the people that were involved in beating up the priests were themselves Armenian, according to the Geiler and T.I. statement. So it's all a bit weird, and no one really knows what's going on. But the church and the Interior Ministry released a thing, and this is absolutely not anything to do with ethnicity, because we're a tolerant country, and everything's fine, and none of that.
Yeah, there's anti-Armenian violence. I mean, on the other hand, the attitudes towards churches in Armenia and Georgia are quite different, and the Armenians, my impression is, perceive their church to be extremely corrupt, whereas Georgians
would never say that,
although the church is incredibly corrupt, you know, strangely. Archbishop Spiridon from Khulo talked about the Kazantip festival that will be held in Anaklia in August, saying that the festival promotes homosexualism and drug abuse. He continued that people who care about Georgia's future must stand together to make sure the festival does not happen. Several conservative public figures, including Levon Vassadze, the gazillionaire.
Homophobe in chief,
and wearer of impressive traditional Georgian outfits, are planning peaceful protests in Tbilisi on the 26th of July, demanding to cancel Kazantip because it is an insult to the Georgian traditions and spirituality.
Oh, my dick. Sorry.
Father Antimosia from Trinity Cathedral said that before Soviet times, priests in Georgia had power and were part of the elite. According to him, if Georgia is going to build a democratic state, priests should resume their proper place in society and be judged accordingly. He points out that society judges a bishop by the car he drives, while they don't say anything about 18-year-old girls driving expensive new cars, and he sees this as the mentality of a communist society. 18-year-old girls driving cars. Unbelievable. I mean, that they could, you know, judge that way. Wait, what is communist about this?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, I just remember the passage in the Bible that it's easier for a rich man to pass through, you know, the kingdom of heaven in a big black SUV than it is, but wasn't there something like that?
Right, in the eye of a needle and a Zaporozhets or something, yeah. According to the director of the National Wine Agency, Levon Davidashvili, a Georgian wine museum will be built in Tbilisi near the Ethnographic Museum, and it will be given the status of a national museum. Elsewhere, wine museums are established by private capitals. Spain, for example, has over 60 privately owned wine museums. Artifacts from the Georgian wine industry will be displayed, as well as modern wine production technologies. A project will be prepared next spring, although the museum's founding nor an opening date are yet known. Georgian National Wine Agency launched a restoration program to recover unique and rare species of Georgian vines, which are now only grown in small quantities. The program arranges for nurseries where seedlings of rare grapes, such as, going to be hard for me to say this, so bear with me, Aldasturi, Mekrenchi, Butko, Satsuri, Chavevri, and Jani will be grown. The wine company Cajeti in Traditional Winemaking will give seedlings to wine growers free of charge, while they guarantee to buy the harvest from the farmers as incentives to grow the rare grapes. 7,000 trees were already given to wine growers in the fall. Another planned 70,000 saplings will be given out. That's cool.
Right.
Totally awesome project. Anybody knows anything about that project, let us know, and we'll keep reporting on it. And where you can buy those wines once they show up. Construction of a new air traffic control center is beginning in Tbilisi. Minister of Economy Gio Kvitikashvili said the center will be equipped with advanced technology in line with international standards. The international tender to purchase new equipment for air traffic control center will be dedicated in the fall of this year, which will cost about 9 million euros. In September, Russia will have negotiations at the ministerial level to decide what sanctions to impose on Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldova after the association agreements enter into force to protect the Russian domestic market. Story we heard from a friend: a U.S. Marine stole a cell phone from a Georgian guy at the popular Tbilisi dive bar last week. Apparently, he was brought through the proper channels and will be disciplined. But the whole thing was hushed up. So Marines that listen to the podcast, the dedicated few, the proud, the podcast listening Marines, don't be stealing cell phones. MasterCard carried out market research on credit card use in Georgia. The study showed that non-cash payments are increasingly popular. More than half the population owns plastic cards. 46% have at least one debit card. 23% at least one credit card. Comparison, 2012, about 6% of the population owned a debit card and credit cards, whereas in 2013, 15%. An ancient royal palace dating back 2,000 years was discovered in Shetakartli region. Archaeologists discovered remains of the royal palace, ceramic, pottery, and other ancient relics on Queen's Hill in the Kareli Raion. The site is being excavated by specialists from the Georgian National Museum and archaeologists Safonskari University of Venice. On the 15th of July, Georgian troops completed their four-year deployment in Afghanistan's Helmand province as part of the International Security Assistance Force mission. There was a flag-lowering ceremony at Camp Leatherneck. About 50 Georgian troops continue to serve in Kabul, and a special mountain battalion is deployed in Kandahar. According to ISAF, more than 11,000 Georgian soldiers were deployed in the country since their mission first began in 2004. On the 19th of July, Georgian opera singer Tamar Iveri announced that she plans to hold a charity concert dedicated to gays, lesbians, and other sexual minorities. In June 2014, Iveri was released from her contract with Opera Australia and banned from performing at L'Ammonia of Brussels because of her alleged homophobic statements on Facebook. The planned concert will take place in Tbilisi on the 11th of October, which is National Coming Out Day. Iveri added that the concert will be dedicated to victims of all kinds of violence and invited other Georgian artists to participate. As a reminder, the controversy with Iveri began when a letter was published on her Facebook page after the anti-gay violence on the 17th of May 2013, referring to LGBT people as fecal masses. Although she, at some point, said that it was her husband that did
it.
That's
unbelievable. Which is really not very, you know, in touch with the truth. But, so this was Edentoba's coup. So Edentoba, which is the hardest working gay rights NGO in the Caucasus.
Right. Among other things, pro-tolerance NGO.
Yeah, pro-tolerance NGO. That's probably the best way of putting it. They have reached out to her and said, listen, you know, if you want to make it better, because they were also among the forefront of bringing this to light, translating her tirade into English. That's what that they did that. And so they pushed the whole campaign against her, and then they reached out to her and said, well, you know, you're saying you're not a homophobe, but you've never got in touch with us. You know, if you want to make this better, we can do something together, and you can show the world that you're contrite and that you don't really believe the things that you wrote in, or maybe didn't write in that letter. So it's their coup, so she's going to do it. I can't help but wonder what the Lev Ambassadors of this world are gonna do on that day, October 11th, the International Day Against Coming Out. I mean, they're gonna
have a peaceful anti-tolerance demonstration,
yes.
in front of the conference. Yeah. Well, that's good. Good on Edentoba for doing that. The National Tourism Administration initiated a new English language course designed specifically for taxi drivers. More than a dozen drivers already passed the pilot class. Drivers that take the course will be given an English-speaking driver sticker to put on their cars. The Tourism Administration plans to train up to 300 taxi drivers. Team of Georgian school pupils won 1 gold and 2 bronze medals in the 26th International Olympiad in Informatics in Taiwan. The Georgian team consisted of 4 students and 2 group leaders. More than 80 countries participated in the Olympiad. According to Nino Sukashvili, the choreographer of the Georgian National Ballet, Sukashvili, the troupe's scheduled trip to St. Petersburg was canceled. She said that the Georgian National Ballet supports Ukraine and so does not intend to go to Russia. She also mentioned that the argument that art and politics should be separate is wrong and that sometimes art is political. Well-known clothing brand River Island is leaving the Georgian market. There was no comment from the store's management. Commerçant reported that the brand did not do well after more than 2 years operating in Tbilisi. The store will announce discounts in the near future and will prepare to close up. The company complained about the declining purchasing power of customers, while consumers pointed to low-quality service, disproportional pricing, and the rising popularity of online shopping. I've never heard of River Island.
It was River Island?
Yeah, evidently.
Where was it?
I have no idea. On the 18th of July, Parliament ratified the association agreement with the EU signed in Brussels 3 weeks ago. The vote took place a special session with 123 out of 150 MPs voting for and none against. 27 MPs were not present.
There was space then in the room.
There was a little bit of space, 27 seats of space. The session was attended by many guests, including ministers, foreign heads of state, and NGOs. Opening the ceremony, Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze discussed the major aspects of the agreement. The Economy Minister, Georgi Kvitakashvili, spoke about the deep and comprehensive free trade agreement. Prime Minister Khadabashvili addressed the parliament and said that the Georgia-EU Association Agreement applies to the whole territory of Georgia's internationally recognized borders. Addressing people in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, he said that they, too, will have their share of benefits from Georgian getting closer to the EU. The EU's Enlightenment Commissioner, Stefan Füle, spoke about the possible results of the agreement, while the Foreign Minister of Latvia and Bulgaria, the Speaker of the Parliament of Austria, congratulated the Georgian people on signing the agreement. President Georgi Margvelashvili appeared at the session unexpectedly. He was not on the list of invited guests or speakers, ridiculously. He told journalists that he was the one who appointed the special session and briefly congratulated the Georgian people on ratifying the treaty.
Well, the other thing is, so when he was looking like he wasn't going to come, embarrassingly, Eka Veselia, everyone's favourite parliamentarian who is the head of the Human Rights Committee, made a comment going like, oh, well, we can't fit everybody in here. Well, obviously they could, because not even all the MPs showed up. And so when he walked into the room, he walked past her going, oh, you see, there was room for me after all.
Amidst great hilarity, yeah, by everybody at the comment. Yes, which was, in fact, the meme of the week.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Oh, you're always happy to have you jump the gun. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, journalist Meta Metrovelli talked about how Georgians perceive ministers. According to Metrovelli, people go into politics to have a luxurious life, especially to have a brand new car and driver that will take them around even when it's not duty related. The problem with Georgian society is that they have this image that ministers should be rich and drive fancy cars and that this needs to change. He advises the newly elected mayors to walk in the streets rather than drive fancy cars because it leaves a lasting impression on the public. I invited, during every single chance I had, invited Gigi Ugalava to walk with me from Freedom Square to the Radisson, cross the street and walk back, which takes about half an hour, and he steadfastly refused to sit there and drink coffee with me for hours, but would never, ever do that. I am now asking Dato Normania, and let's see if he takes up the offer to look at that.
London cycles everywhere.
So. Exactly, exactly. Well, let's hope that the situation for walkers and cyclists and the excellent work of Iare Pechi, the pedestrian rights organization, will one day be more successful. The things to read. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, T.I. George's new report, looks at the ownership, operations, and financing of local media outlets, which play an important role in shaping public discourse in many cities, towns, and communities across the country. The influence of local media will further increase as a result of the recent local self-governance reforms, which introduced direct mayoral elections in 12 cities. Important report. Take a look at this. Article in the Messenger about potential reopening of the railway links in Armenia and Russia by Abkhazia, its political consequences. Article in CRC Caucasus blog by Edda Shirbakhturia looking at the perception of friends and enemies in the South Caucasus. The article examines whether there is a common enemy or a friend that can unite the South Caucasus or if it is merely humoristic speculation. Results show that attitudes are noticeably different between the three countries. Majority of Armenians consider Russia as their main friend. Majority of Azerbaijanis say Turkey. Majority of Georgians say the United States. Article by Eric Livni and Maka Chitanava in ISET's blog about the connection between education, schooling, and nation building. According to the authors, the collapse of Georgia's government and economy in the 90s also left the country's education system in shambles, resulting in the emergence of private schools in Vake and other affluent districts. In Tbilisi, by 2012, Tbilisi had 122 private schools catering to the needs of 29,000 children from better-off urban families. Judging by available data, about 9% of Georgian youth, the country's future elite, study in private schools. Article by Rusiko Machaidze in Democracy and Freedom Watch about student housing in Tbilisi. According to Tbilisi State University student Nino, finding a place to live in Tbilisi is the biggest problem for students coming from the regions. Apartments are expensive, travel's expensive, and students are often dependent on their parents, causing some to consider giving up their studies. Nino and her friends live together in a small rented room and do not want their names published because they feel ashamed about where they live. For the Beacon Reader, journalist Paul Rimple goes to Georgia's Pankizi Gorge to follow up on a story of alleged Chechen terrorists killed by Georgian government special forces 2 years ago. No investigation has followed despite circulating doubts about who the killed men, some of them Pankizi natives, worked for. A heads up, you have to pay for access to this piece, but he's smart and it's worth it, so pay. It's cheap. While the signing of the EU Association Agreement in June united rivals of UNM and Georgian Dream, Maya Edelashvili examines for Transitions Online the emergence of anti-EU groups in Georgia. These groups argue that the route to a better and territorially united Georgia goes through Moscow's Eurasian Union, not Brussels. The articles does not explicitly say that they're KGB agents.
But they are.
But they are.
And they're traitors.
And they're traitors. I mean, you know, not that anybody who talks about the Eurasian Union is a traitor. That these people are.
These guys are Russian agents.
Right. So check out this blog about Lika's adventures in Tbilisi called No Sex in the City. You can find it at pasamonok.blogspot.com. That's pasumonok.blogspot.com. She is super smart, a great writer, and it is very insightful. Also has useful hydration tips. There's a great one on the Pankizi Pagan Rituals by Christina Maza. Also have a look at photo essay published on blog Forsaken Rights about labor and social issues in Georgia. It looks at the nearly abandoned industrial city of Chiatura and the effects on local residents. All these things will be posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is 49. It's Georgia's ranking in the e-participation index of 2014, according to the United Nations e-government survey. This is an improvement from last year's ranking by 17 spots when Georgia was 66 among 193 UN countries in terms of e-participation. I'm Imani Movies. Close to the Philharmonia has daily English movies. Until the 31st of July, How to Train Your Dragon 2, still at 2:30. Million Ways to Die in the West at 5 p.m., which I saw and is funny. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes in 3D at 7:45 p.m. and 10:30 p.m., which is brilliant. It's about two cultures having civil wars, clashing up against each other, which is basically about the inability of Iran and the United States to sign an agreement as there's such polarized situations in each place. For the month of July, Dome Kino across from Rustavelli McDonald's will be showing on Friday the 25th of July, Paranoid Park, Saturday the 26th, Milk, Sunday the 27th, Promised Land. All movies start at 7 p.m. From today, the 24th of July, till Sunday, the 27th of July, Ministry of Culture presents the Black Sea Jazz Festival in Batumi. Lineup includes Cool and the Gang, Awesome, Liv Warfield featuring the NPG Horns, Bootsy Collins and the Funk Unity Band, Men in Brass, Parov Stelar, and Mario Bondi. For information, check out batumijazz.ge. On the 25th and 26th of July, the Kiketi Open Air will celebrate its 10th year anniversary. DJs include Colbert, or maybe that's Colbert, Chippo, Greenbeam and Leon, Jorlik, Lasha and Sicha, Nua and others. Tickets cost 20 lati per day. Additional information, find Kiketi Open Air on Facebook. Looks good. The Art Gene Festival featuring folk traditions from Georgia's regions is happening in the Tbilisi Ethnographic Museum on the road to Turtle Lake. It runs from the 20th to the 27th of July. This Saturday, the 26th of July at 7 p.m., will be a concert by Sabrina Chanturia. She's the daughter of Karina Vamleg, professor of Caucasian Studies at Malmo University. You might know about the program. It's one of the best Caucasus study programs in Europe. It is in Sweden, of course. And Sabrina Chanturi is, by the way, famous and great. Get tickets fast because they'll sell out and it will be really great. Every second Sunday in Tbilisi, there is a Tbilisi Free Market where people come to buy and sell crafts and generally hang out. It's at the Deda Enis Bahi from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Next one should be on the 3rd of August. For more updates, find the Tbilisi Flea Market Facebook community page. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tfeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tfeelpod.com. And from 2009, from Grammatic, we'll finish with Just Jammin'.